with a letter to the Electricity Board. Dear Electricity Board, as you may know, our storage heater has failed. Well, perhaps you don't know. Perhaps the girl who answered the three times I phoned you last week has left to get married and forgot to tell you in all the happy confusion of the office party and the presentation and so on. Anyway, as I haven't heard anything from you, I thought I'd write. There's something very wrong inside the heater itself. It isn't just the fuse. That was the first thing your girl asked me, as I told her. When I put a new fuse in and switch on, it emits a bright blue flash and a sound best spelt, I think, kerspluck. Sorry about that, but it would be pointless for you to think you are dealing with a household where there is no technical knowledge of electricity at all. In these days of staff and other shortages, I'm sure you'd not want to send a maintenance man on a round journey of 30 miles just to change a fuse. However, I hope all your maintenance men have not left to get married as well, and that you will pass on to the one that eventually comes the contents of this letter. Then he will know what spare parts to bring. It might also be shown to your design department, because I've discovered a fault in your storage heaters, which you perhaps do not know about and may wish to rectify in future models. It is this. Your storage heaters are not mouse-proof. I'm not saying the mouse caused the short. We only got the short last week. The mouse is 2 months ago, when my youngest son sat on the end of the heater to watch the television, as he often does when none of my daughters are sitting on it for the same purpose, and sometimes when they are, since he is stronger. The reason the heater collapsed when my youngest son sat on it was that my elder son, who is 21 and knows much more about electricity than even I do, as you will presently see, must have left out some purely mechanical part of the structure at one end when he reassembled it after getting the mouse out 2 months ago. When my younger son sat on it last week, there was a sudden noise, best spelt, I think, gack. And this end, the end facing the television, was suddenly 4 inches lower than the other end. Some sort of leg or support had evidently not been properly secured. Now, you will doubtless say that my elder son had no business, however much he knows about electricity, dismantling one of your storage heaters. But I must point out that he only did this after you had sent no one in response to the calls I had made about the mouse. In these calls, I imagine another girl who also left to get married and is probably back in the honeymoon by now, about the smell. Your heater, as I said, not being mouse-proof, a mouse had got into it. Arriving at a part no doubt warmer than the bit my children sit on to watch television, it had then, finding it too warm, discovered that it was easier to get in than out, and so it had died right in there. Perhaps you don't realise how much smell a dead mouse can give off. Probably this smell is worse when the process of decomposition is speeded up by the surrounding heat. You must remember that this was the most lived-in room in the house. The room with a TV in it, for Pete's sake. The room we eat in. Even so, we'd almost got used to it, as one does. When my elder son came home for a weekend from college, where he is doing science. I told you, he knows all about electricity. Coming straight from a fresher atmosphere, he found the smell intolerable. What finally decided him to have a go, and I'm bound to tell you that my objection was now very lukewarm, was that another mouse had got inside that very day. You could hear it scuttling about. It must have known there was a dead comrade in there, but this did not seem to deter it. But then mice do not have our deductive minds, do they? Of course, it may be a heroic rescue mouse, or perhaps the loyal mate of the dead one. But this is mere speculation. As I do not need to tell you, there's nothing very complicated electrically about a storage heater. Neither of us was very surprised when we'd finally lifted the casing off to find just a lot of heavy concrete blocks with grooves through which ran a long spiral element and a great deal of stuff that looked to me like horsehair, although I don't doubt that in these scientific days it was in fact some man-made material. Our main trouble, as you will guess, was the purely mechanical one of getting the casing off. The 4 bottom screws at the side were comparatively easy. It was the brackets fixing the heaters of the wall. I have since rejected as fanciful the only explanation that seemed possible at the time, that these screws were put in by dwarfs or mannequins only 2 inches tall, but possessed of superhuman strength. At any rate, I shall be interested when your man finally comes to see what kind of tool can screw a screw so darn tight when the head of the screw is only 3 inches away from a wall at the bottom of a heavy and immovable object. The bracket itself is, as you know, apparently now a fixed part of the house. He did get the casing off in the end with what my son described as necessary and legitimate wrenching. "It'll go on again all right," he said, and so it proved, some time after we had got the mouse out. This, as you may imagine, was a laborious process involving the removal of the concrete blocks layer by layer. I was quite right, they do get hotter towards as you get lower, and keeping the yards of element untangled. We found the dead mouse, and we could hear the live one scuttling about as we came near a ground level, like harvesters pushing rabbits into an ever-decreasing circle of uncut corn. We were waiting, not with guns, of course, but with our cat. However, she took a minimal interest in the proceedings, and when we actually put her onto what was left of the heater and told her to do her stuff, she jumped away very angrily. We must be among the very few people who have ever actually seen a cat on hot bricks. We're probably among the few also to have caught a mouse with a dustpan and brush, for this is what we used when it emerged from under the very last block and ran into a corner. We put it back in the garden, hoping against hope that it would tell the other mice to keep the hell out of it. By the time we had cleared up the unbelievable mess of half-dried jam, half-eaten sweets, crumbs and crisps from that normally unreachable bit of floor, to a mouse it must have seemed like a marvellous Harrods food hall where everything is free as well as offering heated beds upstairs, and carefully reassembled the heater, it was time for my elder son to go back to college. The casing, as he had predicted, did go on again all right, although one or two of the screws did not seem to be screwing into anything and rattled a bit if you hit it. But most of all, it still worked for 2 months and without that smell. We put, and here is a free idea for your design department, a guard round the bottom of chicken wire. Well, mouse wire, I suppose you'd call it there. And now this. One end sort of collapsed, a dead short somewhere inside, muffled figures in blankets watching the television. A dead mouse we felt was in our province, but a dead short is surely in yours. Do please send someone fairly quickly. Yours faithfully, Paul Taylor.